William D. Mace coming your way here on this Thursday afternoon slash morning, late morning. The summer days clicking off. A lot going on. Big, big story that hit in the last hour. The Titans have gone for the safety. As we're speculating a few weeks ago that, you know, once the OTAs were over, they would probably at some point go get a veteran safety. There were a number of them sitting out there waiting their turn, waiting for the market to sort of settle in. But at some point, they were going to grab one. They've got their man. Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. We got the Knicks back behind the glass. They handled the show today for Chase and Big Joe as we continue through the summer months. Everybody taking their turn, getting a little rest and relaxation away from everything. But we always like a good summer topic, D-Mace, when actually news hits. And so the Titans have picked up Jamal Adams.
Yeah, they have picked up Jamal Adams, who's been in the NFL for a bit now. He's dealt with a lot of injury. He was a former All-Pro player when he got drafted by the New York Jets, and ironically, Coach Art Wilson was his coach at the Jets. So there's some familiarity with he and Adams. But I think the problem with Jamal Adams is he's getting a little older, but he's only 29. But I brought that up because he's dealt with injuries. And, you know, when you've dealt with injuries, and he hasn't played a full season in the last two seasons, I don't believe. It may be a little bit more than that. But you don't know what you're going to get out of him. You don't know if you're going to get a whole season out of him or not. I'm sure this is a depth thing, you know, in regards to Jamal Adams bringing him in. To bring more veteran leadership to that back end. So, you know, I don't know what to truly make of this signing. I don't know if it's a good signing or if it's a bad signing. But, yeah, he's only played a total of 10 games in 2 years. And when did they start the 17-game season? It was 2000.
I think this will be the third season.
So he's
of 17 games.
So he's only played a full season because he got drafted in 17. He got drafted to the New York Jets. He was their first round pick. He was a high first round pick. Excellent player out of Texas, I believe. But he's only played a full season twice, and that was his first two seasons. And then after that, he just started. You can see he went from 16 to 14 to 12 to 12 to 1 to 9. So this guy, for a position that is always hitting somebody, this guy he hadn't been able to hold up.
The last 2 years in particular.
Yeah.
The last
four, Willie. I mean, he played 12 games of 20, 12 games of 21.
Yeah.
So he missed, what?
12 sounds really good when it's next to a 9 and a 1.
Exactly. So he missed by 5 games each season.
Right.
He's had 7 total injuries in his career, and 6 of those 7 have been on the right side of his body.
Yeah, so
it shows you when he was with Denard Wilson, he had a lot of sacks on his stat line, which meant he liked to blitz a lot. So maybe Denard Wilson's trying to channel that youthful Jamal Adams, like I mentioned earlier, but I just don't see it.
I think that's another thing that, and I think we're going to try to get Teron Davenport on with us. Do we have Teron yet? But I am curious about usage here. There's different types of safeties, as we all know. And as Nick just referenced, I think of Jamal Adams as a little more of a physical safety, a guy that it provides that. And so health is important for a guy like that, rather than a sort of a center fielder
like Kevin Byard, Ed
Reed, guys like that. So how do they plan on using Adams is an important question, because they've had trouble keeping their safeties healthy anyway. When we think of Amani Hooker and I know they're going to be using Elijah Mould in there some. So let's see if we can get some initial insight from Teron Davenport and sort of hash this out between the three of us as to whether this is going to work or not. Adams is going into age 29 season. So it's not like he's, you know, past the age of 30. We talked about a lot the Kevin Byard situation. Is he was getting into the 30s, still being paid pretty heavily, and what was the time where you would start to see drop-off and him not being worth the big contract. So this is a different type of signing here, different type of player. So let's bring in Teron Davenport. So, Teron, your initial thought, what was your first reaction when you heard about this signing?
Well, when I caught wind of it, I said, wow, I think it could work just in a set role. Like, I don't think it's something where it's like, okay, finish the deal. It's all good on safety. The position is complete. I still think that, you know, there's more that has to be done. It's one of those things where context is key. Like, you hear the name Jamal Adams and you think, okay, this is a huge move. This is something that, you know, is a huge investment, et cetera, et cetera. You have to understand where he is in his career and where the Titans are as far as what they need.
Yeah, because he was previously with the Jets and then Seattle, and now obviously he's here in Nashville. What I'm trying to figure out is, and I guess you as well, TD, and everybody else, is the role. What will his role ultimately be, if indeed, because he still has to make the roster, because I'm sure the monies that he, the contract that he's getting, wouldn't pigeonhole them to keeping him, even if he doesn't perform at a high level in training camp. I'm sure there's something within there where if it doesn't work out, they can just move on from him. So what do you think his role would be here if indeed he does, you know, make the 53-man roster?
Yeah, I can see it as a third safety in those situations where they go big nickel, where they want to have a sub package and still be able to defend against the run, but also be able to blitz out of it too, because we know, you look a few years ago, I mean, the guy set the record for most sacks by a defensive back. So make no mistake about it, he could get after the quarterback. And those are the things that this team is really going to need, given that they don't have the premier collection of pass rushers. So that's something I think when you look at the deal, it's a one-year deal. It's a prove-it deal. So as you said, like, I don't think it's one that will warrant, hey, he has to be on the roster. But I think he earns a roster spot, and I think he does give them something. And we got to remember also, Denard Wilson. You know, mm-hmm. I know he had some impact on this, and you look at the success that they had together, right? 2018, 2019 Pro Bowl seasons, and 2019 Jamal Adams was a first team All Pro. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely a familiarity there. There's the ability to know how to use him and those types of things. And I think this is a pretty good example of not the pull, but the influence and respect that Denard Wilson has in that building already.
Do you think they can use him sort of like how Denard Wilson used the players there in Baltimore, those safeties in Baltimore, whether it be Hamilton or the other guy, making those guys interchangeable? And you talked about, you know, Adams setting the record for sacks. So they can use them to try to, you know, get extra people in the box or get extra people going at the quarterback because you don't have a DeNico Autry anymore.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned Baltimore and Kyle Hamilton because, you know, Kyle Hamilton isn't the most rangy guy. He's not the fastest guy. He's not the best in coverage. But when you put him in a set role, allow him to attack and do those types of things that Mike McDonald had him do last year, you have a player who, you know, is a top five safety in the league. I'm not saying by any means that Jamal Adams is a top five safety. Mm-hmm. No way. I don't even – he'll be a top five safety on the Titans, yes, but not in the league. And I think, you know, you look at that role that Hamilton was used, you look at the role that – I think Denard Wilson could put Adams in a similar way, and I think that is actually how you can find some success. It's just not going to be, you know, a down in and down out. He's going to be a situational player.
We'll talk with TD discussing the signing of Jamal Adams this morning by the Tennessee Titans. Now, should we be concerned or should fans be concerned? Because it seems like, you know, we're on this sort of hamster wheel again, bringing in guys that have dealt with injury. Whether it be D-Hop, it seemed to work out with D-Hop, so we can kind of put that to the side, or some other guys that they brought in, Sneed, who's been dealing with his knee injury, hadn't caused him to miss any games, but that question mark is still there. Should we be concerned? Because if without the injuries, I think Jamal Adams is a damn good player. I think he's still a mm-hmm. all-pro type of player. But because of the injuries, it has reduced him to, you know, having to sign contracts later in the year.
Yeah, I think there should definitely be concern. Anytime a guy has an injury history or you know there's a condition that he's dealing with, there definitely should be some concern. But this is yet another example where context comes into play. Like, is it the five-alarm blaze concern like Jarrett Stillman has? No. Is it the concern where, like, you understand it's a risk and treat it accordingly? Yes, that's the level of concern that you have to have. But you have to acknowledge it and understand that it's something that can come up.
Teron Davenport is with us. We're discussing the Titans making the move to pick up an extra safety, and it's the veteran Jamal Adams, a three-time All-Pro, three-time Pro Bowler, but has had some injury issues the last couple years. Speaking of the risk, Teron, obviously what goes with the risk is what the numbers of the contract are. I haven't seen anything yet. I don't know if you've got a beat on it, but I would imagine that this isn't going to break the bank. So that goes with the risk of, hey, you know, it's not like you're out $8 million or something if he does prove that he just can't stay healthy. At least I wouldn't think.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's anywhere near there. As I said, it's a prove it deal, 1 year deal. So I would imagine it is pretty reasonable. I know, you look at Justin Simmons and, he's a guy that is still wanting that high ticket deal. Even at this point in the process, he still wants it. So I feel as though you look at a guy like a Jamal Adams, it's one of those things where he's looking to get into a camp and prove it that he could get a longer term deal. And if that happens for the Titans, so be it. If not, it's just another swing that they took at depth at the position. So I don't think it's a high one. I will say this. I don't necessarily know for sure that they're done. I think there may be another move or two coming soon, and we'll see what happens there. But, yeah, it's definitely not a high-ticket deal.
I'm scrambling here to try to find out all the particulars of the deal, but I remember when he was traded, he was a top-level player for the Jets, and he sort of demanded to be traded, if I remember correctly, kind of strong-armed his situation, and yeah. He got traded to Seattle for a lot of draft capital, and he had a good first year for Seattle, but it didn't really work out after that. I just wonder where his head is now, because as you mentioned, the key person here is Denard Wilson, who was with him in those young years when he was an up-and-coming star with the Jets. I'm wondering if he's sort of recalibrated his place as he's matured, he's gotten older, and he's ready to kind of come in and say, I want to prove myself.
Yeah, I think he understands what the situation is. I mean, there was, from what I understand, there was some interest there in Seattle bringing him back, but they just obviously couldn't make that deal happen. So, I mean, look, having a team that you played for still interested in bringing you back, I think that says something. But there's something that has to be noted, and that's the familiarity with Denard Wilson. And if I'm Jamal Adams, I'm like, look, I played my best when I had this guy as my position coach. Now he's going to be my defensive coordinator. I think he understands me. He gets me. There's no going in and having to, eliminate previous labels that were put on me and establish new ones. This is a guy that I have a relationship with. I could go in there. I know the scheme. I'll know the terminology. Let me go ahead and go there, because this will be a good opportunity for me to put myself in a better position to get a bigger contract. I think that's really the way I would look at it. I would imagine that's how he looked at it going with the Titans.
It's another addition that goes with a theme that we've sort of hit on with the Titans, is they're going into a new stadium in a few years, but in the meantime, because they don't really have a big, deep pool of drafted players that they've developed, they're really going with a lot of guys like Adams and Ridley and Boyd and guys like that who are veteran players who are probably going, you hope, would be an answer for you for the next year or two. But if you're looking forward to the new stadium, very few of these guys are still going to be around to help them, but you hope that they make their mark.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happens when you have a team that signed one first-round pick to a second contract in 5 to 6 years. That's the product of it, right? And you're starting to see down the line, the impact of that and them having to, you know, sign these types of free agents. So, yeah, you're right. And it's just it's a reactionary move, you know, from previous decisions that were made.
Teron, we appreciate on short notice you coming in, giving us your insight. Really curious to see how this works out because he's an interesting guy. If you could keep him on the field, as you mentioned, at his peak, he was really, really good. 9.5 sacks as a safety. You said that was an NFL record?
Yeah, that's an NFL record for a DB.
In the previous year, he had 6.5.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Which is a lot for a defensive back, but 9.5.
Yeah.
You never think of a defensive back, even a safety. Like, you think of the safety blitz, but 9.5 actually getting to the quarterback. That's really amazing stuff.
So
it's been a few years. It's been a few years since he's done that. But
he's a few years removed.
Let's
from
hope
that,
he can get the fountain of youth here with Nashville. We'll see.
Get him like in that movie Cocoon, right?
Yeah. Who knows? Is the lake or the? We were talking about balls getting bounced into the lake, and who was it that swam in the lake back in the day?
Oh, Gianapolo.
Gennaro Gianapoli.
Yeah.
He actually swam. Maybe that's the key.
Yeah, maybe he got
How did Gennaro play after he swam in the league? Did he show signs of improvement?
He turned green, I think.
Well, hey, Jamal Adams once had his hair dyed green. So
there you go.
Okay. Now we're on to something. He played for the Jets. He played for the Seattle. There's some green in there. All right. Teron, great stuff. We'll talk to you soon.
I appreciate it. And real quick, make sure you guys check out my Matthew Jackson post, man. He grew up right in the shadows of Nissan Stadium, and now he's playing for them. So I posted a story about that this morning. It's pretty dope.
Okay.
Yeah, well, we got a second here. Teron, tell us about that a little bit more for people that are just hearing this for the first time.
Yeah, so Matthew Jackson, if you get off of the highway there and those, the housing development right there on the right, the brownish tan buildings, CWA, I think it's called, something like that. But he grew up in that housing development, you know, right there across the street from Nissan Stadium. He played at Hillsboro, and then he went to Eastern Kentucky. And you know, there were things that happened that kept him from, you know, getting to some of the bigger all-star games. And he had his pro day there, and the Titans weren't there, but, you know, shout out to Patrick Wu. He stayed on him. He felt he was a really good player and a good option for the Titans. And Jackson came in. He worked out at the local pro day, and he stood out. Vrabel had he and Colton Dowell stay. They ended up drafting Dowell, and they signed him as an undrafted free agent, and he made the roster. So
that's a good job
there.
Man.
And his agent is a local guy, Zach Spires, who Aspire Sports Management, you know, definitely. One of his guys actually plays for the Cats, and that's how he got familiar with Matthew Jackson, because one of his guys works out at XS Sports, I think it is, X3 Sports. And that's where Jackson works out. So it was a cool story just to see it all come together. His mom is wonderful. She's a great storyteller, and she helped out a lot. So,
wow! She went to Fisk, right? I was looking. I'm just glancing at your story now.
Yeah, she went to Fisk. Yep. And so they lived in Chicago. She had a full scholarship, the United Negro College Fund. She had a full scholarship, but she had to get back into school within a year. So her, Matthew, and his oldest brother moved here when he was just a little over one. She worked customer service jobs to make ends meet. And then it's a cool story, just like when you see why he got into football and stuff like that. It's funny. I smile thinking back to how she was telling me the story. But it's a dope one.
Outstanding. So there's a guy that we should circle and keep an eye on at camp. That's a great local story. Teron, thanks for letting us know on that. So you can go to ESPN.com, go to the Titans page where Teron has his stuff. You can get more stuff on Jamal Adams, and you can read about Matthew Jackson. Teron, thanks again.
Appreciate it. Have a good one.
And the good thing is the Mets weren't playing while you were on to give up 5 runs, because that didn't go well for us. We'll hope for better things in a couple hours here for this last game against the Nationals.
Brandon Nimmo is on fire, man.
Let's go. Keep it going.
Yeah.
All right, TD, we'll talk to you.
All right.
We had Teron on Monday, and the Mets were playing the Pirates. It was 2-2.
So well.
Two outs, nobody on. Everything looked great. And by the end of the interview, it was 7-2. The Pirates were winning.
It didn't go well, Willie.
I was in a bad mood at the end of that interview. I don't even remember what Teron was talking about.
I was glancing at Willie throughout that inning. He just went just to smile away quickly.
Yeah, if you were watching on YouTube or Twitch or Twitter, you probably saw some expressions, nonverbal expressions that sort of told everything. But interesting move. Jamal Adams. We're going to talk about it a little more on the other side. Also, we might need some dramatic music. Mm-hmm. The text line is back. Nick,
yes. How about that?
You fixed it all by yourself.
No, I did not. Do not give me the credit for this. You can give the credit to Ian Safar. He was the one that sent the email.
Oh, my goodness. We have the text line. In fact, I feel like I should send a test text during this break, just to make sure.
Go ahead, do it.
I'm
going to
text myself on the text line. 615-737-1025. We have missed it dearly the last week or so. But give us your thoughts about Jamal Adams joining the Titans. It's going to be a little bit of an older roster here. This is probably a theme of, okay, this is a new era, but you got some veteran guys here. What's the expectation level? 615-737-1025. Test out our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We're just getting cranked here on Willie and D-Mace, and you're listening to 102.5 The Game.